Bonjour à tous. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us for another session in the Born Data to Action webinar series. We're so happy to have you with us today. Today's webinar focuses on advancing Black maternal and perinatal health in Ontario. Before we begin, we acknowledge that Born Ontario, hosted at CHEO, is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe Nation. We honor the enduring presence of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples and recognize their long-standing stewardship of these lands, waters, communities, and knowledge systems. As we gather to discuss the use of sociodemographic, social determinants of health, and race-based data to advance equity in maternal and perinatal care, we recognize that health data exists within broader historical and social contexts shaped by colonialism, systemic racism, and inequitable access to care. Born Ontario is committed to working collaboratively with Indigenous partners in equity-deserving communities to support respectful data practices, foster trust and accountability, and ensure that data is used to improve health outcomes while advancing self-determination and culturally safe care. Today's discussion also highlights persistent inequities in maternal and perinatal outcomes experienced by Black families in Ontario. As we explore how data can be used to better understand and address these disparities, we recognize that meaningful progress requires partnership with communities, ethical stewardship of information, and a commitment to translating evidence into action that promotes equitable, respectful, and culturally safe care for all families. As we gather today, we also recognize that many participants are joining from communities across Ontario and beyond, on the traditional territories of diverse Indigenous nations. We invite you to take a moment to reflect on the land you are on and the Indigenous peoples who have cared for it. My name is Mariah, and my role at Born is Strategic Partnerships and Network Coordinator. I will be hosting today's webinar. I am also joined by my colleague Tammy Kipfer, Communications Specialist, who will be managing the chat box and other important items behind the scenes today. And I am now so pleased to introduce to you today's speakers. Our first speaker is Marissa Dahlia Ellis. Marissa leads Born, Better Outcomes Registry and Network, and PSO's, Prenatal Screening Ontario's, Health Equity Portfolio as Chair of the Internal Health Equity Advisory Group and the External Health Equity Advisory Group. In working as Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Specialist, Marissa works to lead and advise on existing and new projects to support intersectionality and equity perspectives in the work. She works to build and maintain relationships with appropriate health equity teams within and beyond Born partner organizations. Marissa has a Bachelor of Sciences Sociales, spécialisée biodisciplinaire en études des femmes et sciences politiques from the University of Ottawa. She brings her professional experience working in addressing social determinants of health and promoting equity, diversity, and inclusion goals and activities through her work in community. Welcome, Marissa. And our next speaker is Pascal Girard Frappier. Pascal is a project coordinator at Born Ontario, where she leads province-wide data-driven initiatives to improve maternal, newborn, and child health outcomes. Prior to joining Born, Pascal practiced as a registered midwife in the Ottawa area, bringing valuable frontline clinical experience to her work in digital health transformation. She currently supports the launch of the Born Connect program, an ambitious initiative to design and implement a modernized Digital Ontario Perinatal Record, DOPR. This work aims to transition the OPR from a paper and fax-based system to an interoperable digital solution embedded within clinical workflows. The program enables end-to-end documentation, strengthens information sharing among individuals and providers across the circle of care, and will deliver timely decision support throughout pregnancy and into the postpartum period. Welcome, Pascal. And we're also joined today by Ian Joyner, Manager for Information Protection, who will be here for today's question and answer period. Today's webinar is being recorded. A recording will be shared with participants as soon as it is available. And today, we encourage you to submit your questions at any time using the question and answer box. We'll do our best to address as many as possible during the discussion following today's presentation. And before we begin, I'd like to mention that today's webinar has been accredited for continuing professional development. This session has been certified by the College of Family Physicians of Canada for up to one MainPro Plus certified activity credits. It is also an accredited group learning activity, Section 1, under the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada's Maintenance of Certification Program, and has been approved by the University of Ottawa's Office for Continuing Professional Development. Participants may claim up to 1 hour with credits calculated automatically. In addition, all Bourne Ontario webinars, including today's session, are reviewed and approved by Sonography Canada. Certificates of webinar attendance will be issued in early August via email. Our speakers today have no conflicts of interest to declare. And with that said, I'll now turn it over to you, Marissa, to get us started.
Thank you very much, Mariah, and it's a pleasure to be here with folks. Just give me 1 second. I will be sharing my screen. So, hi everyone. My name is Marissa Dahlia Ellis, and as Mariah shared, I am the EDI specialist here at Bourne Ontario, and I have the pleasure of delivering today's webinar, speaking on the advancement of Black maternal and perinatal health outcomes in Black communities. Similar to folks in room, I'm joining from Ottawa, Ontario. Before jumping in, I do want to quickly share a little bit about me. Beyond my bio, this area of discussion is very important to me, myself having experiences as a Black woman navigating the healthcare, and also my mother having delivered me at around 30, roughly 31, 32 weeks, and hearing about her own experiences in navigating pregnancy, delivery, and even her delivery with my sister. It's very important to me that I fundamentally understand the health outcomes of Black birthing individuals, as well as strive to improve. So, in today's presentation, we're really going to be exploring three various avenues. So, understanding why Black health, what the data is telling us, and what Bourne is doing about it. It's very important that we steep and ground ourselves in really what is happening before jumping to action. And before anything, I would really like for us to explain what we mean when we're talking about race. I feel it's very important to clarify the distinction between race, ethnicity, and genetic ancestry, as oftentimes these terms are used interchangeably within science and medicine, but they all have a distinct definition. And in defining, we're able to find clarity, which supports in striving for better health outcomes. So, in speaking about race, it is a system created by society that sorts people into groups based off of visible biological traits. So, these traits are skin color, hair texture, facial feature, etc. So, when talking about race, thinking of people who are Black, White, South Asian, etc. Over time, these groups have been assigned a social meaning, which has created differences in powers, privileges, and even access. When we're talking about healthcare, education, and all systems. And so that's what we're referencing when talking about race. Ethnicity is a term created to describe people from the same region or country who share similar culture, history, or social experiences. So thinking of language, traditions, tribes, beliefs, etc. Unlike race, which is based off of biological traits, this is really based off of shared heritage, identity, and identity. And finally, there is genetic ancestry. So that's biological heritage traced through DNA. Specific genetic variants can become more common between and in specific ancestral populations. And there's more genetic variation socially within socially constructed racial groups than between them. So, in defining, I understand that there is an overlap, but this visual really allows us to really look and see the overlap. So, looking at how Genetic ancestry is reflective but not definitive. It might not always align. And when we look at race and ethnicity, it can often correlate but not always. So, especially when we're talking about the Black population, it's very important that we frame it because the Black population is not a monolith. We have people coming from African, Caribbean, and even just Black populations. So, when we're speaking about that, it's very important that we reflect that because while we might all look the same or we might look similar, our genetics, our histories, our backgrounds, our lived experiences vary. And those intersections are very important to highlight. So, within Born, just wanting to provide some insights, the Born Registry contains race data for individuals who have had certain screening for Down syndrome called multiple marker screening, so MMS. These data have been used in publications to highlight the outcomes in Black birthing population. Within Born, we have even developed a request process used for so that when people are using race-based data, there is an expectation of an understanding that the use of this data will be purposeful and beneficial for racialized communities, so not further causing undue harm. So, however, when using these data, it's important to understand the context and limitation. So, as you see on the screen, there are a lot of distinctions and limitations. So, the representation of multiracial individuals not being captured properly, as well as there is an underrepresentation of newcomer populations and also indigenous folks, rural residents, lower income households, etc. So, while we have the data, even with the limitations, we are still able to capture the realities of population. So, I know today, and especially understanding that we have a variety of people who work in healthcare, birthing units, midwives, etc., and even community, there is an understanding of the realities that Black birthing individuals and Black populations face generally as we talk about healthcare outcomes. But before I start, I think it's very important that I ground us in a strength-based approach when we're talking about Black maternal and perinatal healthcare outcomes. And I share that because oftentimes Black populations only hear about the barriers and inequities that impact them. But when we recognize that traditional African knowledge keeping, generational knowledge sharing allows us to find strength and look at these outcomes as a sign of resilience, and also an understanding that data reflects stories and histories and knowledge that has been shared within African Caribbean Black populations. And so what we're talking about today is really grounded and steeped in Sankofa and Ubuntu principles. Sankofa being West African, which is retrieving the past to inform your future. So you cannot know where you're going without knowing where you've been. And so that for me is very important because it allows us to really understand that community has informed, community has given answers and given stories and given proof of lived experiences of solutions and of really the realities. And furthermore, Ubuntu, which is a South African concept that articulates the very essence of human being by affirming the communal nature of our existence. So, really allowing us to really steep ourselves in the importance of care, interconnectedness, and community. And when we're talking about Black health equity, building solutions, community, knowledge of the past, that thus informs future practices, as well as maintaining intergenerational connectedness, is really important because we do not exist in isolation. And community really is key and allows for healing. So, why Black health, right? Like, I think that that's a question within our sector we hear a lot. Why are we focusing on Black perinatal healthcare outcomes, why Black maternal healthcare? And as shared prior, it's not at pregnancy that Black birthing individuals experience poor health outcomes. For folks who are in the healthcare sector and even just generally, COVID-19 really highlighted the ways in which Black communities were disproportionately impacted in comparison to other communities. And that brought forth many conversations on the need to collect race-based data. Throughout history, whether it be through exploitation, through unethical studies, as well as a lack of consent in the exploration of Black bodies for better health outcomes, there has been a history of mistrust and really of fear that exists within Black populations that really has not allowed for adequate race-based data collection, as well as there is a history of general discomfort around the collection of it, or people not fully recognizing the collection or the need of sociodemographic and social determinants of health data. But when we're looking at the statistics and when we're looking at the state of the world as seen by the screen, it's very important that we highlight and we understand. And as shared prior, like Black people are not a monolith. Right? Black people have a diversity of experiences, identities, and that are important, right? Like when we're talking about immigration, when we're talking about language, when we are talking about really where folks come from, in addressing Black maternal health and in looking at the various intricacies, the various intersections, and really just what people have gone through. In capturing and wanting to highlight Black maternal health outcomes, it allows us further to look at other health outcomes. So when we're talking about just broadly the Francophone community, queer communities, et cetera, so people living in rural populations. I myself personally really believe that when you address the most marginalized people, it allows everyone to reap the benefits. And that's what we're doing in terms of building a Black maternal health framework and really just looking and studying and engaging with Black populations. So here you'll see what the data is telling us. And so you'll see that Black pregnant people are we're at a likely increased risk for severe maternal health outcomes. So that is gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, placental abruption, preterm birth, et cetera. And Black pregnant people were also at a likely risk for poor neonatal outcomes, so low birth weight, small for gestational age, NICU admission. And so I think it's important that this is data that we have at the Ontario level. And when we look broadly and we look at the States and the UK, and we understand that this is not something that only impacts low-income folks or only impacts like a specific type of Black person. The need is evident. I think of Serena Williams, who faced life-threatening postpartum complications after her C-section in 2017, where she spoke heavily about not feeling heard as a Black woman and really having to advocate for proper care. And when we're recognizing data collection, data use, and the understanding of Black communities, and once again, steeping it to what African practices of Ubuntu and Sankofa are saying, the knowledge is there, even without adequate data which highlights stories. It's there, it's known, it's a shared reality amongst Black populations that there are many risks, and sometimes these risks are not heard or supported. And that's where Bourne really wants to engage and support. And so this really reflects what I've said. And so now that I've shared where we're at, what the data is sharing, I want to further talk about what Bourne is doing. And I can say that both at the internal and external level, Bourne has really wanted to commit ourselves or to engage ourselves, I should say, in fundamentally engaging, supporting, and protecting the communities that we are collecting data on. So I'm pleased to share at a large scale today, Bourne's Black Health Equity Framework. This was developed with myself and Yverna Toussaint, who is another employee within Bourne. And It was framed with the guidance and support of the Bourne team and specifically our internal health equity advisory group. So the framework itself aims to advance Black health equity and address anti-Black racism by embedding our work with culturally safe anti-racist practices in our governance, collection, and sharing of sociodemographics and social determinants of health. By supporting organizational systems and ingraining a better understanding of Black populations. So you'll see at the center, EGAP principles are very key for us because we really want to ensure that the ownership, the stewardship, and the data can live and come and circle back to the communities that we are engaging in. I think that oftentimes Black communities feel as if there is this constant loop of engagement or collection without being able to adequately use what's been collected. And data is power. Data allows for advocacy, for program change, for stronger initiatives, and also just for proof. I think that, especially in our sectors, this juxtaposition of quantitative, qualitative data, and specifically a story versus history. Versus context versus known knowns. And that's really what the Black Health Equity Framework aims to do. The primary goal is really to support the mobilization of our data, expertise, and partnerships so that there can be bet the best outcomes possible for Black maternal, perinatal, and infant health. And working at Bourne, something that I've come to realize is various people have. If you work in hospitals, birthing units, community health centers, there is a push presently for Black health plans. And understanding there's barriers, whether it be through resources, through time, through capacity, et cetera, we also feel that the Black health equity framework can support people in engaging in the work and really framing a better understanding of a middle point, an interim. And that's another way that we hope that Bourne's Black Health Equity Framework can support, engage, and be an avenue for collaboration. So, looking over the different pillars. So, the first one is protect. For many Black birthing people and families, health data practices have been shaped by power imbalances, limited transparency, and experiences of harm within health systems. Protection thus starts at the before the data is collected and is grounded in community-defined understandings of what safety, dignity, and thoughtful, meaningful benefit. So this pillar really roots us in ethical data stewardship that prioritizes community partnerships, clear purpose, and strong safeguards. So race-based and equity data should be collected, explained, and used when necessary to advance equity. And so when communities can understand that and influence how it's been shared. The next one is learn. And so learning from race-based and equity relevant data requires careful attention to what questions are being asked. How findings are being interpreted and how meaning is made. Learning with context shifts our focus away from preconceived individual or community deficits and towards systems, policies, and organizations of care that can shape the experiences towards health care outcomes. So, allowing us to ask informed questions, avoiding harmful rhetorics, and really understanding what we are interpreting, right? Because there has to be context. Reconnecting is really the understanding that Black communities have oftentimes had data collected about them without receiving feedback, meaningful context, or tangible benefits. So reconnection reverses its pattern by treating knowledge sharing as an ongoing relationship. And myself, having a background in community work, I find the reconnect to be very important because people oftentimes don't know what's happening with their data, or people oftentimes need their data to support them. And that's what reconnection really allows us to do. Then the final pillar is act. It is where learning becomes accountability. For Black birthing people and their families, inequities have been documented for decades without sustained system response. So this pillar affirms evidence generated ethical collection, contextual analysis, and meaningful reconnection. And so this really allows us to really support change in any avenue that allows us, or supporting people who are engaging in that change. And so the framework affirms that advancing Black health equity requires more than the collection of race-based data. It requires us to use and govern the data towards better partnerships, transparency, and sustained commitment through responsible use. So across the four pillars, Born Ontario really is engaging in the data collection use to support for accountability, learning, and improvement. And this is both done as shared at the external and internal level, right? So in maintaining the flow and now having shared the framework, I'm going to pass the floor to Pascal, who's really going to be able to speak to Born Connect and frame it within the pillars of the Black Health Equity Framework. And once again, reminding you all of the Ubuntu principle that can be integrated in the work that Pascal will share, because it will allow for fairness, community good, safeguarding humanity, and respect. So, Pascal, I will pass the floor on to you.
Thank you very much, Marissa. And bonjour à tous. Hello, everyone. And really, thank you for the opportunity to share a bit more about how we envision Born's newest program, Born Connect, and the development of a digital Ontario perinatal record, aligning with principles just described by Marissa today and how it can support Black maternal and perinatal health. And so first, I'd like to share a high-level vision of what is Born Connect. If you'd like to learn more about the full vision, goals, and benefits of the DOPR and Born Connect, you can access the recording of the full webinar that took place 2 weeks ago on our website. And we will also share the link in the chat for easier access. So Born Connect is a broad strategic program, and it aims at leveraging Born's prescribed registry status and data infrastructure to deliver more personalized, equitable, and outcome-focused information directly to individuals, but as well as clinicians and communities as well. And modernizing the Ontario perinatal record into a connected, interoperable digital workflows across pregnancy and in the immediate postpartum period is really a cornerstone of this program. So we know there is a strong demand, both from patient and clinician, for a digital OPR, and Born Connect received a mandate from the Ministry of Health earlier this year to develop this tool. So we have learned in our 2022 Our Care survey that 92% of Ontarians said that it was very or fairly important to have access to their health information online. And 75% wanted one record where every professional in their care could see and use and access. We've also learned in the PCMCH 2023 Perinatal Record Survey that 71% of clinicians uses the Ontario Perinatal Record daily, and that 85% already use it in an editable digital form inside their EMRs. But here's the catch, is that those forms still have to be faxed. What's missing here is the connection between them. So we're not asking people to change how they work, but we're working to close that last gap. In addition, I want to take a moment to discuss social demographic and social determinants of health, because this is where a connected record becomes an equity tool and not just one for efficiency. We know health outcomes are shaped by far more than clinical care. They are shaped by income, housing, immigration experience, racism, languages, access to care, amongst other things. And right now, most of that context either isn't collected or is collected in one setting and never travels with the patient. And so when the data isn't there, the disparities are still happening. They're just invisible and difficult to assess. Therefore, Born is committed to advancing health equity through the systematic collection and use of social demographic and social determinants of health data. Because when these are collected and used responsibly, four things can become possible. We can identify inequities and in outcomes rather than assuming care is experienced the same way by everyone. We can target interventions and inform policy where the need actually is. Clinicians can deliver more culturally safe and responsive care because they know who's in front of them. And we build accountability and transparency because we can measure whether what we're doing is closing gaps or not. So the key word on this slide really is the word responsibly. Collecting this data is not only justified when it is collected with consent, with an explanation of why we're asking, and if it comes back to community as something useful afterwards. So that principle is built into how we're approaching the DOPR plus. So knowing that perinatal care is characterized by many care transitions in a relatively short amount of time, to improve our patient experience outcomes, it is imperative that the right information is made available at the right time. So the vision for Born Connect is one connected record that travels with the patient throughout their perinatal journey. So each clinician views what came before, adds to it on their own workflow, and passes it forward without retranscription or faxing. So information is captured once, reused many times, so that risk flags, lab we worry about, or SD and SDH data is simply there when the next clinician needs it. Note the caption on this slide here is listening for more. So what we're presenting here today is a conceptual vision of what a digital OPR could look like. It is by no means a finished product, and shaping it is exactly what we're inviting you to help us do today. So the next few slides will zoom in on what a DOPR could do for patients, family, clinicians, but also for the healthcare system as a whole, and what a few functions could look like. So here on the right side of this slide is what we imagine could be a secure platform where patients and families can have access to personalized information throughout their pregnancy and early parenting journey. We also envision this could be a mechanism by which pregnant people can provide their own information, sharing their health history and demographic information to reduce duplication and avoid being asking the same questions many times. Also, we could collect patient-reported experience and outcomes to help improve care. This could also be the mechanism by which people share their social demographics and social determinants of health, which would be governed by self-managed data governance so that patients retain control over who sees their information and how their data is used. So this would be a platform that is connected to the Ontario perinatal record and which could bring multiple services over time, such as personalized health optimization based on an individual's needs and different stages at which of pregnancy at which they find themselves, navigation and support following an early pregnancy loss, personalized screening information and risk insights, such as displaying known pregnancy history, prenatal and postpartum health assessments, and reminders and education around maternal and childhood immunization, amongst other things. And so this slide here shows how the OPR Plus connects both the patients and the clinicians around that shared record to create a system, an ecosystem where information flows seamlessly between the two. So on the left side is the direct-to-patient and family platform we just described. And on the right side here are clinician-facing capabilities that are embedded directly within existing EMR workflows to avoid disruptions and multiple separate logins. So the opportunity here is to have one live record shared across providers touching an individual's pregnancy. So it would be a single source of truth, which can power screening and early interventions for those who may benefit from additional support and early interventions. And some examples here could be highlighting risks of preeclampsia or preterm birth or labor, which can be identified early with point of care tool and suggestion for preventative care. So how can such a system be part of a solution to improve outcomes for a Black birthing population? So while the literature tells us that Black birthing people in Canada do experience some poor maternal and infant health outcomes, we're working to better understand what equitable and culturally responsive care should really look like in practice. So this includes engaging directly with Black communities and health programs to learn from their experience and perspectives. And then we can translate those insights to strengthen care systems and support clinicians in providing more personalized approaches to care. So, for example, recognizing that Black birthing people are at higher risk of preeclampsia, we can ensure that both patients and clinicians are aware of this risk earlier on and are supported early to screening, monitoring, and offering preventative interventions. And so ultimately, the goal here is to ensure that care plans reflect each person's unique needs and concerns, and ultimately leading to better outcome experiences. Another great example is with regards to perinatal mental health screening. So an article from the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology looked at the utility of the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale for identifying prenatal psychological distress in Black birthing people. And it showed that a large proportion of Black women experiencing high levels of prenatal stress may not be identified as well using only this one screen as the only measure for screen for referral. So this finding suggests that alternative or complementary tools, such as the Center for Epidemiological Studies Depression Scale, or CESD, could also be considered for this population. So by incorporating evidence such as this into a digital care pathways, the DOPR Plus could support more equitable screening practices and help ensure that the right tools are used for the right population. So this creates an opportunity for early identification, timely referrals, and more responsive mental health care during pregnancy and the postpartum period. So we want to ensure that the DOPR we're designing is being designed with you and not for you. So therefore, to solve the navigation issues, it takes an understanding of the gaps and evidence to get a better outcome for people experiencing those gaps. So we want to share a little bit with you a bit more details about the engagement plan we are planning to bring forward. And so first here we have our clinician engagement to help us understand current perinatal care workflows, documentation and information sharing challenges, and clinical decision-making needs across different provider groups. We also want to explore perspectives on the features clinicians would like to see. And would need in a connected digital perinatal record to improve care coordination, reduce administrative burden, and support adoption of the DOPR Plus. We also want to hear about clinicians' experience providing care, perinatal care to equity-deserving and diverse patient populations, including Black communities. Our goal is to identify equity gaps in current system that Born Connect and DOPR Plus could help address. We'll also explore what information about a patient's social context, needs, cultural need, and identity would support better perinatal care, and discuss how that information could be collected and governed in a respectful, appropriate, and secure way. And second, and very importantly, our lived experience engagement. This exercise will be a trust-based work with people who are pregnant or recently pregnant, deliberately centering equity-deserving communities. So these engagement will explore participants' experiences navigating pregnancy care, including care coordination, access to information when it is needed, communication with providers, and continuity of care. So, and at the same time, we recognize that the diversity within African, Caribbean, and Black communities. People needs, preferences, and expectations for a digital OPR will not be the same. Individual will want to engage with this tool in various different ways. And so for this reason, and grounded in our commitment to listening and engaging their diverse voices and lived experience, as well as the principles of the Black Health Equity Framework, learning, acting, and reconnecting. We're committed to involving Black communities throughout the design and process and development process. And so our goal here is to create a tool that supports independence, autonomy, informed decision-making, and meaningful engagement in care. And so we're planning to ask about preferences for digital health information, privacy and data sharing, equity, and any barriers experienced when accessing care. Patients will also be invited to describe what an ideal digital pregnancy record would look like for them, including the features, supports, and trust factors that matters most. So we'll take a deeper look at equity, identity, and experiences of perinatal care by exploring how factors such as race, gender, language, age, disability, and other aspects of identity may have shaped their care experience. So ultimately, we want to understand how a digital tool could help make pregnancy care feel safer, more respectful, and inclusive for everyone. So if you are interested in sharing your thoughts, your time, and expertise for this work, there are several ways in which you can participate. And keep in mind that opportunities will continue to arise throughout this iterative process, as we learn more and identify areas requiring additional consultations. So there'll be a variety of opportunity to contribute, and you can choose the method that works best for you, whether that's providing quick feedback or being involved in something a bit deeper. We encourage all people with lived experience, clinicians, researchers, and administrators to get involved. And if you have a bit more bandwidth, we're looking for and looking for deeper involvement. Please share your interest in joining one of our advisory group. We will be hosting a clinical advisory group as well as the People with Lived Experience Advisory Committee that will provide guidance across the program. And so, if you scan the QR code here on the screen, you'll be directed to the expression of interest form on the Born Connect website. And we would be truly grateful if you felt like sharing this information through your networks with your colleagues and contacts who you think might be interested in being involved in this work as well. So, thank you in advance for your time and interest and in making this tool the one we need to improve health outcomes for everyone. Thank you so much. And back to you, Marissa.
Yes, Pascal. Thank you very much, Pascal, for sharing about the DOPR and the ways that Born is really wanting to develop something that will support not just the better health outcomes, but the trajectory of people's healthcare throughout, right? Because it's not just at delivery, it's not just at conception. It really is how can we develop something that is fulsome and prior to development, how can we ensure that the communities in which we are wanting to engage are well represented? And in understanding that the DOPR is in the process of being developed, it is something that we are looking for in the future. I'm here to talk about the interim. I understand and know that the pathways, the journey, the understanding of the collection of race-based data in a lot of spaces are noted to be important because I hope by the end of today, there is an understanding that we need more people to collect race-based data. But in the recognition of this, there has to be the acknowledgement of a history of mistrust, a history of discomfort, and also power imbalances within these various systems. And so if you yourself, your organization, the institutions in where you work, you engage, are ready, I encourage you to really look and start from the ground and look at actions to do this meaningfully. And so there are scripts, there are resources, and there are really pathways to develop your learning and better understanding of the realities of Black folks generally in healthcare. And there are also resources that will help folks feel more comfortable in the collection of race-based data, socio-demographics, and things that will really push for a more intersectional and grounded approach in healthcare. But what I want us to do before we jump in that is I really would like folks to reflect on their identities. Because before we jump into wanting to save the world, wanting to engage and wanting to collect, 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 we have to understand our relationship with that collection and also how that might raise a level of discomfort for the people in which we are asking from. Addressing your own discomfort and biases, building trust with your patient population, and use scripts to support the collection. So it explain and understand your why. Share people why you care. Share with people why this is important. I think it's important that we frame it not necessarily if you say you're Black, things are going to change, but more so in sharing where you come from, what you've experienced, what you're living. We will be able to provide you with resources that will feel true to you. We will be able to share resources and better understand the realities in which you are experiencing. And for folks who do feel uncomfortable when asking, I raise and I flag, sometimes it is much more uncomfortable sharing poor health outcomes or poor realities because these questions were not asked. And so I think in understanding the why, in building trust, in really facilitating community connectedness, you will be able to do that. So with that, I will pass it back to Mariah. Thank you very much. And yeah, Mariah, back to you.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much, Marissa and Pascal, for sharing your expertise and insights today. We hope that this session has provided valuable perspectives on how health data can be used responsibly and collaboratively to advance health equity for Black families across Ontario. We'll now move into our question and answer portion of the webinar. If you have a question, please submit it using the Q&A function, and we'll do our best to address as many as we can today. I do want to start with some pre-submitted questions. One of them comes from a regulator and of a professional body, and they are asking, what role can regulatory frameworks, standards, and professional practices play in improving Black maternal and perinatal health outcomes?
Thank you for this question. I think that the role that regulatory bodies can really engage in improving the outcomes for Black populations is through the embedding of policies, of systems change, or even the recognition. It allows there to be an actual reflection, an understanding of action that can lead through it. I think frequently we don't necessarily include or speak to the realities or need for changes when we are creating policies, engaging in the creation of frameworks, and whatnot. And because of that, it leaves a gap. And that gap is oftentimes felt by Black populations. And so creating a space where there's proof, there's evidence, and there is a system of accountability so that people who have to apply it, the people who have to be accountable to it, are building ties, building connections, and supporting that change.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Marissa. And today you spoke, you and Pascal, a lot about community engagement. How can organizations effectively communicate back to patients and communities about how equity-related data are being used to inform quality improvement policy or practice?
I can take this also, and I will use it sharing my community engagement background. I personally feel that the same way that you engage people should be the same way that you share back, right? And whether it be through having a community roundtable, a community forum, whether it be through also inviting them to the events where this data is shared and highlighted, if this has allowed for a significant win in funding, in programming, being able to share that, I think is very important. I would also not underestimate just the power of, even if it's sending an email, having consistent newsletters and touch bases so that people are aware of the progress. Because even if it's, hey, we emailed them, we submitted a grant, that is substantial to people in knowing that it did not stop at the consulting or the engagement. And I think to what Pascal was talking about with DOPR, being able to highlight, we made this because of what you folks have shared with us. And so I think a constant looping back. I love a community celebration. I think people love food also. So that could also be something too. Pascal, anything to add?
Maybe what I can add in the context of the DOPR is we are planning this process to be quite iterative and kind of building on what we learn and, coming up with something and bringing this back to the communities with whom we do engagement to kind of validate, what what we will produce and what we come up with to ensure that it aligns with needs and what we're hoping to see in the end. So we're hoping that this is going to show where all that feedback is going to answer those needs.
Wonderful. Thank you both. And on the note of engagement, Pascal, there's quite a few questions around public health engagement in the co-design of DOPR. Can you speak more to public health engagement, recognizing that they are often engaging with individuals in the perinatal health period?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that public health units are obviously one of the partners that we're really hoping to engage with at a deep level to really understand their experience and what they can what is their learning from working with a variety of population across Ontario and making sure that we include this feedback and these learnings within our design and building process as well. And so this we are planning to reach out to specifically to public health units to be included in our advisory committees and into our engagement plan.
Great. Thank you so much, Pascal. And I'm going to pivot over to a pre-submitted question, and it is, how can efforts to improve Black maternal health be aligned with broader maternal health equity initiatives while addressing the unique experiences and needs of Black families? To what extent are these inequities driven by systemic factors?
That's a very big question. And I think the way in which we can really strive to understand it and like push for Black maternal health while also including folks like people who are non-Black is, as said prior, like recognizing that Black people do not solely have the experience of Blackness that impacts them, right? So whether it be linguistics, poverty, immigration, where they're located, socially, politically, economically, these are things that when we are tackling and engaging in Black health equity, it allows for a deeper insight when we're like unpacking it, right? And obviously looking at it through the intersections. And so that's why I was saying, like, in addressing Black health equity, it really allows us to understand health equity generally and broadly. And I think the way that we keep true to it and don't have it lose its meaning is by naming things. I think sometimes things get very lost when we speak to equity broadly, or we are refusing to name populations that are impacted. Obviously, equity as a whole is very important, but in tackling equity, I think foundationally, engaging in Black health equity will support. And I think those are my thoughts generally.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Marissa. And there's a question here. First of all, complimenting, saying thanks for sharing this important work. What accountabilities, tools, or resources do you see being developed or that you'd recommend to help healthcare systems address and respond to some of the disparities that you highlighted?
So what accountability measures to ensure that there's a feedback loop and the work is actually being done?
Exactly. What accountability tools or resources might you see being developed to help healthcare systems address and respond to some of these disparities that are being noticed?
I think that's a very great question. And I honestly, in referencing EGAP specifically, I think that has to be driven through community, right? Because I think accountability looks different for various people. So accountability might be there's a community meeting every year where you're highlighting what you've done, but then what does it look like when you've not done it, right? Like I think stewardship and data ownership is defined by the communities that we are supporting and engaging. And because of that, I can say what accountability looks like for me within my context at Bourne. But I think that when you are engaging various people at various lived experiences, it's also on them and on the people who are wanting to engage to ensure that they are properly reflecting what engagement looks like. Because depending on people's access, people's lived experience and where people are. Like, even we're talking about time, we're talking about finances, we're talking about anything. Like, accountability could be financial, accountability could be a meeting, accountability could be an email. So that's me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Marissa. And this next question is around research. There's actually two questions that were asked that are very similar. So I'll put them together. How does Born Research ensure that data collected is representative to the general population?
Yes, I feel like I'm playing like a game of catch up and tag, so hopefully people are not tired of my voice yet. So the way that Born Research ensures that data is collected and representative of the general population is that when people are submitting like data requests, as shared, we do have a secondary form that people have to fill out so that we are adequately understanding their understanding of race, of the communities in which they're engaging in. And in there, they also have to share their plan, whether it be community engagement, whether it be in a way that they can highlight how they have engaged or how they plan to engage community to support, and also how do they understand race as a social construct so that they're not further replicating any harm. So I think that there are certain parameters that we are in the process that we have developed, and we are looking at strengthening and ensuring that that's there.
Great. Thank you, Marissa. And I'm noticing in the question answer box, there's quite a few questions related to DOPR. Just for the given the limited time that we have to address these, we'll follow up with you offline, but I think there's lots of great considerations that will be brought back to the Born Connect team. And I do want to end with one final closing question. If you could leave participants with one key takeaway or one action they can bring back to their organization, what would that be?
Share our Black health equity framework and look at the ways in which maybe that they can align with us. I think that sometimes we work in silos, or we think that the work has to be made new. But with the Black health equity framework, with EGAP, I think the first step is assessing your organizational capacity and then looking at avenues of collaboration and support.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for leaving that us with that message, Marissa. And thank you again, Marissa Pascal, for speaking today and sharing this important information and the work that you're both doing. And also thanks to everyone who's joined us and has been so engaged in the Q&A. Tammy will put some resources that Marissa shared within the chat, and also will include a link to the Black Health Equity Framework that Marissa has been speaking about today. And I also wanted to share with you today some upcoming Born webinars. We welcome you to attend these events. And also, following today's session, a short survey will pop up in your browser. We would greatly appreciate your feedback as it helps us improve future sessions. Thank you all once again for your time, engagement, and thoughtful questions today. We truly appreciate your participation and interest in this important work, and we hope that you found today's session valuable.